This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Decision day for the White House. I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, June the 1st, glad you could be with us. And here's what's up this hour.
President Trump tweeted that he'll use a Rose Garden ceremony this afternoon to announce whether the U.S. will remain or exit the Paris Climate Accord.
The House Intelligence Committee issues subpoenas to officials from the Trump and Obama administrations as part of its Russia probe.
Hillary Clinton uses a tech conference in Southern California to discuss her election loss. Hear what she told the annual Recode gathering.
And with summer approaching, a look at how much home remodeling projects will cost you.
The rule of thumb is actually that you can almost always expect not to recoup the full cost of that. Remodeling Magazine does a report every year where they look at typical costs for some of the big popular projects and then how much those end up recouping at resale. And only one of them, I believe it's a door, actually recoups more than 100%.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on the cost of remodeling and return on investment. She's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump said he would make an announcement this afternoon on the Paris climate deal, with three White House officials telling the Wall Street Journal that he is expected to withdraw from it. Under the voluntary accord, nearly 200 countries committed to cutting greenhouse gas emissions in an effort to combat climate change. California Senator Kamala Harris thinks the U.S. should remain.
We cannot pull out of those accords, and I think that it is highly irresponsible of this administration to suggest that it would be in our best interest. All people need clean air to breathe. All people need to be able to drink clean water.
U.S. carbon emissions, by the way, are likely to continue falling regardless of any political change, mainly for market reasons that have made it cheaper to use natural gas to generate electricity instead of coal. That's one of the reasons, by the way, energy-related carbon dioxide emissions fell last year to the lowest level since 1992. If the U.S. withdraws and does away with any further emissions reductions policies, a number of states will continue with regulations, like California, which has a cap-and-trade law that seeks to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Meanwhile, world powers are locking arms to defend the 2015 Paris Climate Accord should President Trump decide to pull the U.S. from it. That's the word from Wall Street Journal reporter Matthew Dalton, who joins us now from Paris. Matthew, what are you hearing?
Well, it seems like support for the deal is holding pretty strong internationally. The EU and China have a summit on Friday, and it seems like ahead of the summit, they're going to put out a statement saying that they both strongly support the Paris Climate Accord, and they urge other leaders not to withdraw from it and for everybody to stick to it. Clearly a message aimed at Mr. Trump. So in India, it seems like officials there are pretty determined to stay the course with the agreement. At the G7, Germany, France, Italy, the UK, Japan, Canada, they were all on board. So the consensus internationally seems to be that, you know, we're going to go ahead with this thing even without Trump.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Paris correspondent Matthew Dalton. If I understand it, our emissions are down about 11% or so the past few years. Is there a reason to believe they wouldn't continue to go down and at least get reasonably close to the guidelines that the Obama administration set anyway?
Well, that's to some extent the result of natural gas prices being very cheap, and so that natural gas is being used more to produce electricity, and natural gas produces a lot less carbon dioxide emissions than coal, which is the main competitor. So as long as natural gas remains cheap, the U.S. has a pretty good chance of of being kind of in the right place according to the emissions plan that it submitted to the Paris Agreement. However, the Obama administration, sorry, the Trump administration has proposed to withdraw a number of the regulations that Obama passed to implement the Paris deal. So that includes vehicle fuel efficiency standards. That means the car industry has to produce, you know, starting, I think the deadline is maybe 2020 or 2021. By then, the car industry has to be producing vehicles that are, on average, are significantly more fuel efficient. And also, the Obama administration has passed what it calls the Clean Power Plan, which is regulations that govern carbon dioxide emissions from power plants. And that's another set of regulations that Trump does not like and could very well end up being repealed. So, you know, natural gas being cheap, that's good. But at the same time, if those regulations do end up being repealed, it could set emissions on a higher path than they otherwise would be.
I know toward the tail end of your story, too, you quoted the vice president of the European Commission, this Maros Sefcovic, who said, the U.S. decides to pull out, it would be disappointing, but I don't think this would really change the course of mankind. Let's explain that.
Well, I think he's referring to, in a slightly overblown way, he's referring to those kind of fundamental economic dynamics that I was talking about earlier, okay, which is the price of natural gas relative to the price of coal. It's kind of a arcane thing, but as long as there's been a huge boom in natural gas production in the U.S. in recent years because of new drilling techniques, et cetera, and as long as the gas remains cheap compared to coal, the economics of running a coal plant are not good, and companies have been shutting a lot of them down, actually, for reasons not at all related to Obama's climate regulations, but simply because the alternative fuel is a lot cheaper. And so those fundamental economic dynamics are for the moment more powerful in terms of determining what carbon dioxide emissions from the U.S. are.
Thanks, Matthew. Wall Street Journal Paris correspondent Matthew Dalton. 13 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. What dad doesn't love to grill, especially when it's a great steak? Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. And now this Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get a limited time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter deal in the search bar. Omaha Steaks even offers online support with recipes and wine pairings. Here's the offer, 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 tender mild filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional burgers free. Only $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Type deal in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, grab your dad and fire up the grill. Thanks for being with us. The House Intelligence Committee has issued 7 subpoenas relating to its probe of alleged Russian interference in the election. The Republican-led committee issued 4 subpoenas yesterday related to the Russia investigation targeting former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn, President Trump's personal attorney Michael Cohen, and their businesses. The other 3 subpoenas were issued to the National Security Agency, the FBI, and the Central Intelligence Agency, former Obama administration officials, for information about a procedure known as unmasking. We get more now from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
These are the first subpoenas issued by the House Committee in the Russia probe and highlight a split over how the investigation will unfold. Democrats want a probe into Mr. Trump and his associates, while Republicans are pushing for a probe into the unmasking. The Senate Intelligence Committee also has an investigation. Those members are expected to hear testimony as early as next week from former FBI Director James Comey, who was overseeing the agency's Russia investigation until Mr. Trump fired him 3 weeks ago. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has a new group she's blaming for her loss to Donald Trump in last November's election. Speaking at a Recode conference yesterday in Southern California, Mrs. Clinton blamed the Democratic National Committee, saying the DNC was insolvent and that its data was mediocre to poor. She also blamed the Russians, the media, and former FBI Director James Comey for reopening a probe into her private email server.
This was the biggest nothing burger ever. It was a mistake. I've said it was a mistake. And obviously, if I got to turn the clock back, I wouldn't have done it in the first place. But the way that it was used was very damaging.
Mrs. Clinton, a two-time loser in a campaign for the White House, said she repeatedly tried to bring up Russia's interest in the U.S. election, but said her claims were largely ignored. She also claimed she was treated unfairly for accepting millions of dollars in speaking fees from Wall Street firms. President Trump weighed in on her remarks, tweeting, quote, "Crooked Hillary Clinton now blames everybody but herself, refuses to say she was a terrible candidate, hits Facebook and even Dems and DNC," end quote. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Important U.S. allies around the world are sounding alarms as President Trump seems close to pulling the U.S. out of the landmark Paris Climate Accord. The White House signaled that Trump is likely to decide on exiting the global pact, fulfilling one of his principal campaign pledges, though top aides are divided. Britain's Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson.
We will continue to lobby the Americans and the White House to show the leadership they have shown in the past on reducing CO2.
The final decision to be announced this afternoon may not be entirely clear-cut. Aides are deliberating on caveats in the language. An explosion at a corn milling plant has rocked a community in central Wisconsin. Alliant Energy spokeswoman Anne Marie Newman says the blast left hundreds without power, but it's coming back.
Some of the more significant, larger structures that bring power into the area were apparently impacted.
Authorities say there were multiple burn injuries and three medevac flights were sent to the scene. Kathy Griffin has lost a decade-long gig ringing in the new year for CNN as a backlash builds over her video displaying a likeness of President Trump's severed head. CNN, which had called the images disgusting and offensive, says it will not invite Griffin back this year for the Times Square Live New Year's Eve special she has co-hosted since 2007 with CNN's Anderson Cooper. A portion of the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington closed for nearly 3 hours yesterday after a noose was found in the museum's history gallery, which features an exhibit on segregation. The museum reopened fully around 3:15 p.m. once police deemed the area safe and secure. The museum, which opened late last year, says the horrible act shows just how necessary its mission is. And here's a feel-good story for the morning. The parent of a child in the Seattle Public School District has raised more than $40,000 in a crowdfunding campaign aimed at erasing lunch debt in the district and two others in Washington State. After reading a news article about school lunch shaming, where students who don't have enough money to pay for lunch are singled out with stamps or wristbands or given an alternate meal, the Seattle resident became inspired to launch the fundraiser.
I don't even want to know what the alternate meal is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Ugh. I think this was the guy who just called his local school, and I think just the district had like a $1,900 bill. He wound up raising all that money to cover lots of school districts, right?
That's a lot of lunches.
That's a great story. You're right. 23 minutes now after the hour. Spring cleaning is child's play compared with the projects many homeowners are planning. Tis the season for remodeling. Projects' costs can vary widely based on factors including room size, scope, local prices for materials, and whether homeowners opt to hire a pro or go the DIY route. Based on data on 2016 projects, consumer reporter Kelly Grant at CNBC.com has a look at how much time and money you can expect to spend on popular projects. Kelly, what do we have?
Well, you know, when we look at different sources on that, you know, the rule of thumb is actually that you can almost always expect not to recoup the full cost of that. Remodeling Magazine does a report every year where they look at typical costs for some of the big popular projects, and then how much those end up recouping at resale. And only one of them, I believe it's a door, actually recoups more than 100%. Most of the projects are sort of in that 50 to 70% return. So if you're looking at doing a big project, don't think about this really in terms of added value on your home. This is about added value for you and enjoyment of the home.
Okay. Where do we generally spend the most when we remodel?
Kitchens and bathrooms tend to be the most popular projects, and they can also be some of the most big-ticket ones. And some of the ones that are going to take you the longest in terms of planning and construction.
Oh, what kind of planning? That's an interesting one. What kind of planning goes in?
Yeah, well, planning, that was actually an interesting part of this house survey. They were looking at, among people who had done particular projects, what did they spend, how much time did they spend planning the project, and then once they were in construction, how long did it take? So for some of the bigger projects, I mean, we see homeowners that were spending 6-7 months just in that, you know, figuring out stage of what do they want, how are they going to do it, finding a contractor, doing everything before they actually get started on, you know, the actual work of the project.
Mm. All right. So your story mentions an average of about $19,000 for a kitchen remodel, close to $12,000 for a master bathroom. What else is in there? What else made the list?
Well, and for those actually, for those average spends, should be noted, you know, that's probably a pretty low average compared to some of the other estimates we've seen out there. There can be a lot of variation in these depending on where you live.
Yeah.
You've got the local costs that vary for work, for materials. You know, some of these, you know, remodeling, say, a kitchen, I mean, that's going to depend on the size of the kitchen, the scale of the project. Are we going for the laminate countertops or the granite, the high-end appliances, all of those little details within there. So when we're talking about the planning of this, like, that's the sort of stuff you really want to set out in advance and have a good sense of what your budget is. The only project on the list that actually went down in terms of average cost was closets. People are spending a little bit less money to remodel or, you know, make a fancy showroom closet.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. America's First News.
Loans are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $1,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees and no collateral is required. And you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6161 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 6161. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6161.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Thursday, June 1. Welcome aboard. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Paris Climate Accord decision today. A House panel issued subpoenas over its Russia probe. CNN fired Kathy Griffin for her Trump video. A conservative group targeting 6 MSNBC and 4 CNN political shows for skewing left. Florida police released dash cam video of the Tiger Woods arrest. NBA finals begin tonight. Black Eyed Peas added to the Manchester benefit concert this Sunday, where tickets sold out in 20 minutes. Texas guy caught a record bass with a chicken nugget. And a college graduation held on a stalled subway train. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, for someone who's one heartbeat away from the presidency, Vice President Mike Pence has somehow managed to stay arm's length from the multiplying scandals in the Trump White House. In fact, USA Today Washington correspondent Maureen Groppi writes that at the height of the controversies enveloping his boss, Mr. Pence is even building his own political war chest, creating a political action committee to support congressional candidates, which will enhance his already strong popularity among Republicans. Maureen set this up.
Well, the question's been raised about Mike Pence's role in all the controversies swirling the White House right now. The focus is on him for two reasons. One, because if these scandals end up being something more, something real that could endanger his presidency, then, of course, Mike Pence is next in line. And the second reason people are looking at this is because they're questioning, well, does he have a role in any of these things if they turn out to be real problems, you know, legal problems or otherwise political problems? He seems to have escaped being at the center of some of the questions swirling around, but that raises the question of why has he been out of the loop, and has he really how has he managed to not be involved in some of these key things that have been going on?
Yeah. You mentioned, too, he seems to have a lot of goodwill built up around Washington. Explain.
He has a lot of strong ties on Capitol Hill, in particular from the 12 years he spent in Congress, also because he's more of a traditional politician, and so they, you know, they're more comfortable with him than they are with the president, who has no governing experience. He also has a lot of strong ties to a lot of the political groups, the interest groups in Washington, particularly on the conservative side, religious conservatives, economic conservatives. So people like him, they like dealing with him, they're comfortable dealing with him, and he's a lot more predictable to deal with than the president. Mm.
What's been the reaction from Vice President Pence on all the stuff that's happening around Mr. Trump, for example?
Not much. He's kept pretty quiet. He doesn't tweet the way the president does, and he's unlike the president, also he's very much on message. He spoke last week when we had such quite the week of breaking news, and he made only an oblique reference to what was going on when he spoke at a business event at the Chamber of Commerce. The most he said about it is whatever Washington may be focused on at any time, we're going to continue to try to deliver on the president's promises that he made during the campaign. So you could infer what you wanted from the intro phrase of whatever Washington may be focused on, and certainly last week they were focused on what was going on with the investigation of this possible Russian interference in the election and possible connections to Trump officials.
Yeah. We're speaking with Maureen Grappi, USA Today Washington correspondent. Her piece is called "Can Mike Pence Escape the Controversies Engulfing the White House?" What about on the fundraising front? He seems to be doing well there, you say.
Yeah, that got a lot of attention, too, last week because he created a political action committee that allows him to raise his own funds and to travel around the country to support candidates. His folks say that this is focused on his support for congressional candidates. And, again, that will strengthen the ties that he already has with members of Congress. He's been active in the special elections that have been going on right now, particularly the one in Montana, in making robocalls, going out there to campaign, raising money. But that the fact that he created that political action committee was noteworthy because that's pretty unusual for vice president.
Are the biggest questions right now surrounding Mr. Pence and what was said or may not have been said with regards to Mike Flynn, the former national security advisor?
Right. So one of the big pieces of news that came out last week, New York Times reported that Flynn had told the transition team in January that he was being investigated by the FBI because he didn't correctly disclose the lobbying ties that he had with Turkey. Pence at the time was head of the transition. So the question was, well, how the New York Times that broke the story said that Flynn told this to the council of the transition, didn't mention Pence, but the question was, well, how could Pence not know this if he was head of the transition? And if he did know it, did he advise that Flynn not be hired, which, of course, he was initially hired? Pence's reaction to that was he had said that he had told Fox News in March that the first he learned of Flynn's working for foreign governments was news reports that came out in March, and his office put out a statement last week saying that he stands by that, but that's when he learned about Flynn's involvement.
Thanks, Maureen. Maureen Grappi, USA Today Washington correspondent. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. It is Friday Eve. Glad you're with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, after a seemingly endless wait, the NBA Finals are finally here, and before we get set to enjoy another Warriors-Cavs battle, diehard Cleveland fans aren't ready to let Golden State fans forget what happened during last year's Finals. According to USA Today, an Ohio resident named Corey Sivert's license plate has become the social media equivalent of salt to a Warriors fan's wound. Corey's license plate reads, LLWLWW, which, for the unfamiliar, is the order in which the games in last year's final went for the Cavs, punctuated by their Game 7 win after being down 3-1 in the series. Corey says the trolling license plate gets recognized in public, but it's been even more popular and is exploding over Twitter. Corey told the Cleveland Plain Dealer that he doesn't want to forget what happened last year and doesn't think anybody else should either.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure nobody in Cleveland has forgotten what happened last year.
No. You know, and wouldn't it be great if they could just sort of everything could just stop right there and then for Cleveland fans, and they didn't have to sort of come back this year and have to play them again, and you know, and face some potential embarrassment from a team that hasn't lost. In this playoffs?
Are you saying that the Cavaliers are in trouble against the Warriors?
Saying they are once again underdogs.
Okay.
To a team that again has not lost in this playoffs as of yet, and has added more firepower since last year with Kevin Durant.
Well, so, I mean, the Cavs have only lost one game.
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
That is true.
You know?
I mean, I'm not saying that there's no chance, but I'm just saying that, you know, it would have been nice if they could have just sort of frozen that in time and not had to sort of come back and play them again this year.
Somebody had asked me on Twitter, who do you like, you know, Cavs or Warriors? Yeah. And I don't really have any skin in the game. I don't care either way. I like guys and coaches on both sides. I just want a Game 7.
Right.
And I want it to be early in the afternoon on that Sunday, not 8 o'clock at night where I can't watch it.
Good luck.
Yeah.
We'll find out when we get here.
That is not happening.
And apparently, Gordon, we're not the only ones frustrated by the Mets' disappointing start to this season. The team's beloved mascot is under fire after he apparently flashed his middle finger at a fan during last night's 7-1 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers. A person tweeted video of the incident, which soon went viral, and the club quickly issued a statement saying they don't condone this type of behavior. A Mets official told the AP that more than one person wears the Mr. Met costume during each season, and the person who donned it last night will not do so again. Mr. Met, known for his oversized head with baseball seams, is among the sport's most recognizable mascots. Technically, he has only four digits on each hand, three fingers and a thumb.
Hmm.
Which makes me wonder,
how do you give the finger?
Exactly which fingers the person who was wearing the costume was raising at the time. Maybe it was his index finger.
It's possible.
But in the middle finger of the costume of the, you know, who knows?
Maybe he's pointing to the sky, indicating they need help from above being down 7-0 or whatever.
This could have been a big misunderstanding is what I'm saying.
I see. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. Bring your wife. Hey, glad you're with us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is saying thank you with up to 40% off business PCs with Intel Core processors. Call a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. A new survey finds that Americans born between 1980 and 2000 may be the most entrepreneurial generation ever. A new study shows millennials have more experience with small business and greater desire to start businesses than previous generations. The study shows people in their 20s and 30s trust themselves to provide their own financial security more than they trust others. And how about these numbers? Nearly a third of millennials have already started some kind of business, and 26% have lived entirely off the income of a small business. This portion of the program is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Well, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then, the powerful technology at ZipRecruiter efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. Instead, it finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's right. Offer up your jobs for free. If you're a business owner or in charge of hiring, you need to make the most efficient use of your time and resources when searching for the best candidate. So try ZipRecruiter. Again, to give it a shot for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter.com Gordon. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump has granted waivers to at least 16 White House officials to allow them to work on issues they handled in their private sector jobs. The number of waivers granted to staff in the 4 months of the Trump administration is the same number former President Obama gave out during his 8 years in office. The waivers allow officials who spent recent years lobbying the government on behalf of corporate clients to now weigh in on those same issues. Congressional investigators are examining whether Attorney General Jeff Sessions had an additional private meeting with Russia's ambassador during the presidential campaign. CNN says investigators on the Hill are requesting additional information, including schedules from Sessions. Former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton says Russian meddling in the election in large part cost her the White House. In an interview at Recode's Code Conference, Clinton said Russians were behind fake news stories about her perpetuated on social media.
As we now know, the 1,000 Russian agents who were involved in delivering those messages, they were connected to the bots that are just out of control.
President Trump tweeted last night that Clinton blamed everybody but herself, refuses to say she was a terrible candidate. President Trump is expected to withdraw the U.S. from a landmark global climate agreement, but his aides are looking for caveats in the language related to the exit.
I'm hearing from a lot of people, both ways, believe me.
Leaving the deal would fulfill a campaign pledge, but most economists say pulling out likely would not add any jobs. A West Los Angeles home owned by Cavs star LeBron James has been vandalized with a racial slur spray painted on a front gate. LAPD Captain Patricia Sandoval says the incident is being investigated as a hate crime.
It's very alarming and very disturbing that it would happen in that type of a neighborhood, and particularly to someone of his stature on his residence.
While preparing for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, James lamented the fact that he was across the country and away from his family during the time of the incident. So far, so good for the Pittsburgh Penguins, which beat the Nashville Predators 4-1 last night to take a 2-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. The series now moves to Nashville. Game 3 set for Saturday.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. The New York City subway strikes again after delays caused a nursing student to miss his graduation this week. However, CBS News says the stalled train did not derail any of the pomp and circumstance. Cell phone video that's now gone viral shows the student, Jerich Alcantara, celebrating his graduation right on the subway car. Instead of walking on the stage at Hunter College on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, Mr. Alcantara was stuck on a stalled subway train deep under Queens. So he and his best friends took matters into their own hands, and fellow passengers went along for the ride. They even played the ultimate graduation song and created a makeshift diploma. Alcantara said he left his home in Elmhurst, Queens, extra early, 8 a.m., for his 10 a.m. ceremony on Tuesday. The usual 40-minute commute lasted 4 hours, his worst in all 4 years at the school. He said he'll be getting his actual diploma in the mail. He will then be studying for his board exams to become a practicing nurse. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.